From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now, and we begin in Egypt, which has been quickly spiraling since this morning's police attacks on supporters of the ousted president. A nationwide state of emergency has now been declared.
Vice President Mohamed El-Baradei has resigned, telling the BBC he does not want blood on his hands. The Egyptian government says more than 100 people were killed across the country, but supporters of ousted President Mohamed Morsi are claiming that hundreds more died in Cairo alone when police moved into clear camps where they had been protesting ever since Morsi's removal by the military last month. Earlier, we spoke with freelance reporter Sophia Jones of The Daily Beast and Newsweek about how Egyptians are viewing El-Baradei's resignation.
Mohamed El-Baradei resigning is seen as a pretty big deal. It might mean that the interim government is in some ways crumbling because he was a pretty well-respected man by many Egyptians, in fact. And in a statement, he said that violence brings violence. Although he didn't directly condemn the violence from the government today, it's seen as a pretty big step.
Freelance reporter Sophia Jones in Cairo. We also reached the BBC's Rania Sabri in Cairo and asked her how people there are reacting to what's happened today.
Well, it's a lot for Egyptians to take, taking in consideration that this country has been actually very, very stagnant politically for maybe six decades. So what has been happening in the past 3 weeks, in the past 3 years, has been a lot for them. A lot of them, most of the people are glued to their screens. It's more or less like a ghost city. Nobody's out on the street and everybody's just waiting for developments. The Egyptian presidency just announced a state of emergency for a month long, and also a curfew was imposed in a number of governorates, not in the capital at the moment. And this is because some of the violence was directed against churches. A number of churches have been burned down in Upper Egypt, and this is one of the reasons for the curfew.
Is there a sense that there's an end in sight to all of this violence and upheaval in Egypt?
Well, it is expected that such tension and violence on the street will continue for a while. The Muslim Brotherhood has been working for 80 years to reach power, and once it did, it only was in power for a year. It's not going to let go easily, and that is also coupled with the fact that those who support political Islam believe that this is their sacred religious duty. So, yes, they're not going to let go easily, but at the same time, they're fighting an army, they're fighting a police apparatus, a security apparatus. So it's not really a balance, an even balance of power for both sides. So violence is going to continue, but at one point it's going to come to an end. Only this end is not expected at the moment. And let me also say that the military-backed government has been repeating one phrase over and over again for the past 40 days, and that is an all-inclusive political process, a political process that includes all factions and parties. The executive estate is asking for the youth of the Muslim Brotherhood to let away with their leaders who, according to the estate, committed crimes and join the political process themselves. But the youth, the masses of the Muslim Brotherhood, will only have a say in the political process if their leaders, including, of course, President Mohamed Morsi, is in the negotiations.
And we're hearing that one of the daughters, the 17-year-old daughter of one of the senior Muslim Brotherhood leaders, was killed today in the storming of these camps. What more do we know about that?
Well, there have been bits and reports about the daughters of a number of leading figures, not only Mohamed El-Beltegi. Some of them were denied. Others were confirmed, just like you said. But the point is that the fact that she's the daughter of a leading figure of the Muslim Brotherhood makes it maybe the first time one of the leading figures actually is damaged or harmed in these protests. Because for the past few years, the people who die are always from the common or from the more common grades of the Brotherhood, not from the leading figures. But still, with all due respect to her, there are lots of more people and lots of youth who have lost their lives during the past 3 years in Egypt in seeking change and seeking to end autocracy and refusing at the same time theocracy.
Rania, what is the feeling about the U.S. involvement in all of this? Is there a sense that Washington knew what was going to happen here, that they're complicit in it, that they didn't know, that they didn't want it to happen? How are Egyptians feeling about the U.S.?
Well, unfortunate to say that the Egyptians are very much against the U.S. at the moment. They believe that the U.S. backed the Muslim Brotherhood for so long during the year in power, when it was clear that the president was not being a president for all Egyptians, according to them, and that was highly demonstrated in the constitution, which was drafting and which included many, many backdoors to a theocratic and an Islamic state that would not respect the rights of women or the rights of children. Also, the fact that so many churches have been attacked today without a word from the West, and in particular the USA, is actually a topic for a lot of mockery and a lot of social media sarcasm, that the US, after speaking about minorities once they are attacked in a country which are ruled by their allies, the Muslim Brotherhood, it does not utter a word in their defense. So unfortunately, the gap between the Egyptian people and the US administration is growing.
The BBC's Rania Sabri reporting for us from Cairo.